Welcome to Overtime with Mac and Trey. This is Trey Jenkins. Got Dave McIntosh on our Google Meet. Dave, how you doing?
We're all right. What's going on, Trey?
Lots going on. This is actually our first emergency podcast. We always talk about doing something like this, just whether we need to talk about something immediately. And as we all know, there's a lot of things going on in the world, race-wise, politically, and just and also there's a pandemic going on as well. So there's a lot of things that are needs that we're thinking about, we have thoughts on, and we want to cover briefly, hopefully, just to we need a soundboard. We gotta bounce off some ideas and thoughts that we've been feeling over the past 7 days, which has felt like a month. So So Dave, how you doing with all this?
You know, when we talked about starting this, I always thought our first emergency broadcast would be about some game, but you know, obviously with no games going on and this being such a big issue, you know, I'm glad we're gonna get a chance to talk about this for sure.
Yeah, and there's a lot to cover, but the one thing that kind of hit the news wire yesterday, and sports wise at least, was some thoughts, some comments from Drew Brees and some comments from Laura Ingraham from Fox News.
Our favorite, Laura, not my favorite person, Laura Ingraham. My favorite person.
Our favorite person and our favorite news channel. Dave, what'd you have? You had some thoughts on both those topics, right? Drew Brees and Laura Ingraham.
Oh yeah, I mean, well, the whole thing, I never even knew who Laura Ingraham was up until, you know, LeBron came out a while back and criticized Trump, which, you know, I thought he had every right to criticize him, obviously, and you got Laura Ingraham coming out and just saying pretty much shut up and dribble, and I was even just playing a clip of that today in front of my fiance, and she just couldn't believe how condescending that Laura Ingraham sounded, and I mean, just
a hypocritical.
She said, hypocritical. Yeah, not a kind person. And then you see Drew Brees come out with his comments, what he said today, which
yesterday,
yeah. You know, he said again yesterday he's against the protest, and then you have Laura Ingraham has the audacity to sit there and say, "Well, Drew Brees is allowed to say what he wants." So I don't understand when LeBron comes out and says something, when Kevin Durant, when you know, black people come out and express themselves, shut up and dribble, and put them in a box. And then when Drew Brees comes out and says what she wants, she's defending Drew Brees to the hilt, saying, oh, well, he has a right to an opinion. So I just don't understand how Drew Brees has the right to an opinion, but these other athletes don't. And I mean, I guess at the end of the day, I think she's a racist. I mean, I'm not even going to beat around the bush on that. She's a fucking racist. Either that or she's just trying to get ratings because she's on Fox News, but whatever it is, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. And I mean, even going back to her original comments, just the way I felt after hearing her comments, I just got pissed off. And then to have to hear her today come out and do a 180 and is sticking up for Brees, what is it? Do you want the athletes to talk or not talk? I'm really confused on the Laura Ingraham angle.
Well, that kind of goes to when Colin Kaepernick was taking a knee. Like, everybody was like, I don't want politics and sports. I don't want this. I want to be able to enjoy the game. Well, what you're basically saying, you don't want, if it's not your politics, you don't want to see that. So if that's what you're saying. So just be upfront with it. Don't just try to, oh, no politics and sports. Politics is always a part of sports. We said this on our first or second podcast. It's always going to be a part of sports. It's always part of life. They're intertwined. So just open up a history book. It's not hard to find. But yeah, the Drew Brees comments were tone deaf at the very least. Yeah. And he's a quarterback in one of the blackest cities in America, and one of the blackest sports leagues other than NBA. And you make a comment not supporting I'm not gonna talk to anybody who does this to the flag. And Colin Kaepernick had talked to a Green Beret about, like, what's the best way to show some type of protest and not to be disrespectful. He never had that in his heart and his mind to be disrespectful. And it got hijacked by the NFL, by Donald Trump, by conservatives, and here's where we are. This is his peaceful protest Everybody's oh, do it on your own time. Don't do it there. Nobody looked at the peaceful protest and respected it, but like it got no attention. And now we're rioting and protesting the streets. That's clearly what works, because you're paying attention now.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's the point. I mean, this has been going. I mean, it's been going on forever. But I mean, it's been incident after incident after incident, and people want to sweep it under the rug. So. At this point, I mean, I don't want to see, you know, innocent people getting hurt, but I mean, there needs to be something to make a statement to get everyone on board here. And I think that's the key, is to get, you know, everyone needs to get on board to create a change, because, you know, I do think racism is a huge issue. And with these cops, I remember going back, one of the stories I remember is Robbie Tolan. He was a minor league baseball player. His dad, actually, Bobby Tolan, played 14 years in the majors. Robbie was a promising minor league player. Went out. This is New Year's 2008. I think the day before New Year's. So he went out, you know. I think he went to Jack in the Box. We may have to...
Jack in the Box. I still have not had Jack in the Box. I've seen it out west, but I've never eaten there.
Yeah. We may have to hit on that when we get to our long-awaited fast food podcast. But pretty much, long story short, he went to Jack in the Box late night, came home to his house. He had been living in his house for 15 years. He had been in the car for 4 years. When the cops thought he had a stolen car. I think they messed up searching the license plate, and it came back stolen. But the guy lived in the house for 15 years, so he gets home. Cops want him on the ground. His parents hear the commotion going on. They come outside in their pajamas, saying, like, what's going on? They got Tolan. He's on the ground. At one point, they throw his mom up against the garage, you know? I mean, what are you going to do? Your mom is literally getting thrown up against the garage. I guess he gets up a little bit. They shoot him in the chest. Bullet goes through his liver. I mean, he's lucky he didn't die. As the mom is praying for him, and smoke is coming out from his chest, the cops are telling the mom to be quiet. And I don't know. I was just disgusted by the story. I heard about this on a radio show. And the crazy part to me was, after hearing the story, I was like angry. And then all the people just started calling in after the show. Well, all these cops started calling in, you know, defending the cops in this situation, where from my perspective, it was ridiculous what they did. It was so wrong. And I just think there's this whole attitude with the cops, and I've said it before, there's a lot of, the majority of the cops are good cops, but there's this attitude of like band of brothers, where no matter what happens, we have to band together and defend the fellow cops. And I think that's part of the issue. You know, what's right is right, what's wrong is wrong. And I think we need police officers to speak out even more against, you know, incidents of racism like this.
Yeah, and that's the thing where people are saying that there's good cops, there's more good cops than bad cops, and I believe that is true. I'm a black man. I've had okay run-ins with cops, to be honest with you. I've been fortunate enough to not have any really real problems. I've gotten pulled over a couple times when I was speeding, another time when I wasn't speeding, so that was kind of weird. And there's been like several like little things over throughout my life, but I've been one of the lucky ones. But I know that can change at any time. But everybody talks about these good cops, and I know they're there. I work with some, and my issue is, yes, there are good cops are there, but we need those guys to stand up when something bad happens with a bad cop, whereas police brutality, whereas corruption, we need them to stand up as well and be like, this is BS, and not worry about repercussions by getting harassed by other cops, getting demoted, getting fired, or something worse happening. So that's this band, this brotherhood, this fraternity that exists needs to also people that needs to go. So those good cops can change the narrative, because there's more good cops than there are bad cops. But like that's the narrative, it isn't changed because they don't stand up. for it. And it goes even beyond that. Like, we keep seeing these videos of people, these like the sergeants, the chiefs, and the police officers taking a kneeling down, which is pretty funny because they hated that son of a bitch who did it in 2016, but now they're doing that for a photo op. So you keep that same energy as we get past all this, and make sure you do something with that photo op that you're doing right now. So I that's cool. That's nice to see. It actually happened in the neighborhood that I work in. That's great, but it's empty if the reforms and what you're seeing now, there's no changes that result from what you're seeing now. So spare me with this kneeling if this is all that's going to be. So I remain cautious about any changes in that sense.
No, and I couldn't agree with you more. Like, it's about time. Like, you know what? It's not fair just to have, you know, black people deal with this. It's up to everybody to step up and point out, you know, when there's racism going on. I mean, as I said before, what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. And, you know, at least one of the things, good things coming, it does seem like, you know, there are more, you know, all different races at these rallies. And I think it's important that everyone comes together to, you know, strike down racism here.
Yeah. And
that's the only way. I mean, and I don't want to see, you know, I don't want to see looting and all this stuff going on. I don't want to see that. And I don't even know. That's not even necessarily Black Lives Matter.
It's not different,
you know. But the main thing is that we come together here. And it's about – this bullshit's been going on too long. And there's been too many stories. And it's – you know what? We need something to get everyone's attention, as you alluded to.
Yeah, and just to, I guess, try to wrap this section of our pod up, just the – this, like, you to touch on the diversity of what's going on now, like in the 60s civil rights movement, I studied that very well, and that was mostly African Americans with a sprinkle of white people involved in it, and majority of white people were against the civil rights movement and felt that black people at the time were being treated fairly, which is shocking, but that was like a poll that was sent out like in 63 or 64. So that was a thing. But then all throughout, like even since then, it's always been mostly black people involved in these protests and marches. And probably within the last like 6 years, starting with like Mike Brown, Trayvon Martin, Mike Brown, these marches and protests have become more diverse. And that's also with what's going on with our country in general. We're more of a diverse country, but also we are, it's just becoming, it's, since then, since 2012, 2013, it's become so diverse, and this is like the most diverse I've ever seen it, what's happening in 2020. And it's not even just in America. It's happening in Paris, France. It's happening in London. It's happening in Greece. Greece apparently tried to burn down the U.S. embassy, which is crazy. So it's happening like all, this is like a global situation, and it happened in all 50 states, in fucking Alaska and Montana. And so it's just like, this is clearly something that moved people, and I think it was the perfect storm. You had George Floyd's death, you have the pandemic, you have people who don't have jobs, got laid off, it's been cooped up for three months. It is all a perfect storm. And I'm proud of people who are out there who are protesting, and I was able to do it 2 days ago, so it's great. And it was, I was in Park Slope, Brooklyn, and it was more white people out there than black people. So that's nice to see. And I want to just, again, like same with the cops, keep the same energy going as we move forward.
Yep. And I sometimes get annoyed with, you know, and at first it was with the whole all lives matter thing. And, you know, of course, like all lives, everyone's life matters, but the people, the black people are being discriminated against here. So I feel like when you hear, well, all lives matter, it's pretty much you're just saying, well, I don't really agree with your cause, when they're just trying to go, when they default go to, well, all lives matter. It's just not really having an understanding of what the problem is.
It's hijacking the Black Lives Matter thing. Like, clearly, like, just like said, it's, yes, we know that, But right now, and there's a meme that I've been sharing with people, and it's
great
it's,
meme.
It's a six. It's like six. Like a little comic strip, and it has like this guy is watering his house next to him, and watering his house, and the house next to him is on fire, and the guy's like, help me with this house. This house is on fire. And the guy who's watering his house, which is fine, is like, oh, well, all houses matter. So it's like this whole interchange. And like, it's, yes, we know every life matters. But like right now, this life is being killed a lot and having a lot of issues. So if you're, and it's, you can go to religion. If you're like a like Christian and act a certain, and, you know, have a good relationship with God and have a good relationship with, and believe there's good in all people, you should also want to help people who are marginalized as well. So that's, again, that's not happening. And it, when people say all lives matter, that's just, it sucks. It sucks to hear.
Yeah, no, it absolutely does.
Kind of going back to the sports stuff with, so Drew Brees, he made some tone-deaf comments. LeBron James called him out, so that was great. There's also been some college football coaches who are having some problems. Dabo Sweeney did his typical religious rah-rah speech, and that was super tone-deaf. And the Mike Norvell, the Florida State coach, he is in a lot of hot water in his first couple of months at a Florida State coach. And I hate Florida State. The Florida State Seminoles, as I like to call them, are having a hard time right now. His players are actually boycotting because he said he spoke out about the George Floyd protests. And his players, I know you didn't. You didn't talk to everybody. Like, so they're boycotting, so I'm loving that. Just the attack on these multi-billion dollar white head coaches who make that money off of the backs of black bodies mostly are getting called out, and I love it. And
yeah,
one thing that Tom Herman, he's a coach for Texas, he's a coach at Houston, he called it out. He's like, this basically, we make money off these guys. It's our job to address it. It's our job to make changes. We wouldn't let, he literally said, these fans are cheering for these players, but would you let this black player date your daughter? Would you have a problem giving him a job or interviewing him for a job? Like, these are things that I always think about, and a lot of black people think about, and that white people, in particularly with sports, especially college sports, any type of sports, really, just try to gaslight it and just don't try to think about it. And a great book is called $40 Million Slaves that came out a couple years ago. And God, I can't remember the author right now, but $40 Million Slaves, excellent book. And it kind of covers all this, how like it's just, we're not slaves, they're making millions of dollars. Yeah, sure. But they're not a lot of owners. There's still a lot of race things going on there.
That reminds me of with the Broncos coach Vic Fangio came out this week, and he said he didn't see any racism in the NFL.
Yep.
And you know, maybe in the locker room, you know, once you get down in it, you have people dealing with each other where it's not. But when you look at the NFL as a whole and the people who are in the leadership positions, it's still predominantly white people. I mean, you have a league that's predominantly black, but all the owners are white, all the general managers are white, you know, the people in position of power are still, you know, there's still not enough minorities in position of power. So I think it's kind of tone deaf on Vic Fangio's part to just sit there and say, oh, it's not an issue here, when it is an issue. It's a major issue.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a reckoning right now that the chickens have come home to roost. It's another expression with racism in America and everything that's happening. We have Confederate statues being removed. Robert E. Lee statue, I believe, is going to get removed in Richmond, Virginia. I always have called Robert E. Lee a traitor. I've called the whole Confederacy traitors, monsters. I felt like they should have been executed at the time, because that would have, I think that would have got rid of all the BS probably not, but I like to think they would have gotten rid of all the BS that happened with Reconstruction, the creation of the Ku Klux Klan, all this stuff that creation of Jim Crow laws, things that we're still dealing with now. It would have been crushed from the beginning. That could have maybe stopped some things. Probably not, wishful thinking on my end. But also, there's a push now to change Rupp Arena. That's the home of the University of Kentucky Wildcats, who I also despise.
Don't like them for a few reasons.
The thought that a lot of Louisville fans always have was that Adolph Rupp was a racist. He recruited his first black player in the late 1960s by the name of Tom Payne, who my dad actually went to school with, like kind of knew. He didn't recruit till like the late 60s, early 70s. And, you know, good coach, obviously, tons of championships, but is a known racist. For the most part, every Kentucky fan would be like, no, that's not true. There's no evidence, whatever. So there's a push to get his name removed. I don't think that's going to happen because we know how Kentucky is with their basketball, but the effort is nice.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't want to see that movie. I never saw the movie where he had they had the all white starting five.
Yeah, Glory Road. I did my senior thesis on that. I think you had to my. You're at my dissertation for that. I think.
Oh well.
Maybe it was you. I know. Our friend JP was there. You may have been there. I'm not sure. But I did my senior thesis. Now I'm on Glory Road. It came afterwards, but just based off that game, Kentucky versus Texas Western. Texas Western. Now UTEP. And they UTEP, and they first
Pat
time
Riley was on that team.
Yeah, Pat Riley, Larry Connolly. I know if you know Larry Connolly, but he was on that team. And Pat Riley from Schenectady, New York, by the way.
Yeah,
that first time all black starting five played, but also, and I didn't know this at the time, like 1963, I think it was Loyola. In Baltimore, I believe, had like that's the first time like a majority of black players were playing in the tournament. So, but yeah, that was the first time they won a championship. That 1966.
So it'll be interesting to see Rupp Arena.
Yeah, I don't think that's gonna happen, but we'll see. I just know how people.
Maybe it'll
feel.
Maybe it'll be Patino Arena.
Maybe. Or you know, what would be smart for them to do is, like, do, like, a C.M. Newton. And he was the athletic director there. And he might So he had, like, a really good relationship, I think. I think he was – I mean, he probably was problematic, too, let's be honest. But I don't know. We'll see. Something worth watching. All right, we're going to take a quick break just to refresh, and we're going to finish up some additional thoughts that we have. All right, welcome back to Overtime with Mac and Trey. With Dave Mack, we are, and Trey Jenkins, we are talking about just everything that's been going on with the George Floyd situation, the protests, the race issues being brought up, being finally addressed by the world, it seems. A couple more things to get into. Currently, George Floyd's memorial is going on right now, CNN. We have the Reverend Al Sharpton talking, who I have an opinion about, but I think he's a has-been, to say the least. But he's up there. He always finds his way to the TV. Still don't know why he has a show on MSNBC. It kind of annoys me. But George Floyd memorial is happening right now, and there's been a lot of people who are just being taking the opportunity to, on the conservative side, to trash. This kind of always happens. It happens with Trayvon Martin. Happens with Michael Brown. Happens with anybody who gets killed by the police. They find something that in the past has happened, and as a justification for
I was just gonna say that they use that to justify
why they got killed. So George Floyd, he was in jail for I think maybe 5 years. He supposedly did like a robbery, had like a gun, and pointed it at a pregnant woman, which is disturbing, and this is being put out there along with the fact that he also had coronavirus apparently in April, to just and that's being thrown out there by people to, well, he died of coronavirus, not of this. So just people are just disgusting. That's not what they're saying.
It wasn't the knee on the neck.
It's not what they're saying, but it's been put out there that he had coronavirus in April. That was thrown out there. I don't know what people want to do with that, but I have an idea what they want to do with it. So that was been thrown out, and a lot of this information about at least the robbery and stuff was brought up by this black woman named Candace Owens. Not sure if you know about Candace Owens, but I despise her. She is a conservative, black conservative, and they do exist. I don't think, from my personal opinion, I don't think you can be black and be a conservative, but I mean, that's just my
own opinion. Jason Whitlock would disagree.
He would disagree. The reason I'm talking to you right now, the reason I'm friends with you, the reason I'm married to my wife who is white, the reason why I have the rights that I have right now is because of progressive ideas, not because of conservative ideas. So any black conservative who is conservative, in my opinion, is a slap in the face to anybody who died and did a lot more than what we have done and what they have done. But I digress. Candace Owens came out, said some things, and just she rubs me the wrong way because she's an opportunist. She acts like racism doesn't exist, even though she sued her city and school when she was in high school for a race incident that happened, even though she was part of a liberal publication before 2016, but now she is so right wing now because she found her way or walked away. Hashtag walk away is like a thing that black conservatives push out a lot. So I don't know. She's trash to me. I don't know if you have any thoughts on her, if you know about her, but she's pushing out a narrative. She's well spoken and she acts like she knows what she's talking about. So a lot of racist people and a lot of conservatives eat that up. So I kind of have a problem.
Yeah, I don't know too much about her story, but I think you hit the nail on the head with the opportunists, where I think some people, you know, they just see an opportunity to kind of carve out like a niche for themselves.
Yeah. And so
I know with you know, I mentioned Jason Whitlock. I don't know if he's the same thing, but it just seems like he's always coming down.
He is the same thing. He's just fat.
Over the top conservative, where, and he, you know, of course he worked for Fox, and it's, you know, how much does that he believe this, or how much of this is just to carve out his niche and to get his fame, his followers up?
Yeah, there's money.
So,
there's,
sounds similar.
There's money to be made as a black conservative in that arena. You have Candace Owens, you have this comedian Terrence K. Williams, you have Diamond and Silk, which are the ultimate sellouts in my opinion, just because of how they carry themselves, like a caricature of what people think some black people act. And I never met a black person who acts like they do, but they've taken advantage of it and they've gotten money. They've gotten appearances with Trump in the White House. Like, there's money to be made for a niche where it's not a lot of black people in. And I feel like that's what Candace Owens is doing. She's taking advantage of that. And just so I don't like conservatives, but there's also, I would think Sean King is probably the conservative version of it's the Candace Owens for conservatives. Cause he's a big liberal and he always talks about black issues. He's very problematic cause he always pushes out things and then sometimes it's not true. He doesn't like retract him. He just keeps it out there. So like, it's like, dude, come on. So he's terrible too. But yeah, we've been talking a lot about George Floyd, but it wasn't just George Floyd that his death. There's a lot of, just so many that have happened. You have Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor from Louisville, Trayvon Martin, Tamir Rice, who was 12 years old, who had a play gun. He was 12 years old. Michael Brown, Sean Bell from back in the day. Bothams, last name was Bothams, who died in Dallas. I can't even think about everybody right now because there's so many people. Philando Castile, Like, there's just, like,
so much stuff. How many do we not even know about? How many incidents that we don't know about that weren't captured on
film, too, you know? And that's going back to the 60s and before that when black people were getting lynched. I remember 1964, the three civil rights workers who were killed in Mississippi for trying to register people to vote. And they were killed, their bodies were dumped in the creek, and they weren't found for like a couple months, maybe a month or two. And then I remember reading when the FBI did find those bodies, Mississippi Burning is based off that as well. It's a good movie with Gene Hackman and William Dafoe. It's based off this, okay, what I'm talking about right now. When they were trying to find the bodies, they looked in, they went into this creek and they found everything, torsos, by other bodies, like of black people. So there's like people who, this terrorism that has happened with black people, black bodies over 400 years is just, it's ridiculous. Like, it's sad.
So, and I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, at a certain point there needs to be something, some sort of outcry. And that's why
this was happening now.
Yeah. And you don't want to see, you know, people's property get destroyed, and you know, especially, you know, people that aren't, you know, doing anything, you know, they're just kind of there and have businesses in the community. You don't want to see their property, their livelihoods get ruined. But yeah, you know, we need people to start paying attention, and we need there to be like a big movement like this. And you know, as you said before, everything kind of just came together, and hopefully out of this there's some, you know, sweeping changes.
Yeah, and
stuff starts to change.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that we know white people get killed by the police. That happens as well. Like, I support anybody who's treated unfairly by the police. So it's not just black people, it's everybody. And we have another segment of people who were like, well, what about black on black crime? That's always, 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 always a rebuttal. Oh, yeah,
you hear that. And like, that justifies a cop putting his knee on somebody's neck for
8 minutes. It doesn't. It doesn't justify, but here's the thing. When it's black on black crime, I don't know figures, but nine times out of 10, whoever's participating in black on black crime is going to jail. And they're going to go to jail for a while. When something happens with a cop and a black person or any person in general, they don't go to jail for a lot of times.
They're getting acquitted a lot more.
Yeah, so
even in the incidents I mentioned before with the Robbie Tolan incident, you know, the officers ended up getting acquitted, and then it went to a civil trial, and then it went to finally it had to go to the Supreme Court before they sided with them.
And I'm worried. I'm worried with this George Floyd thing because the main cop got a second degree. The other's got like second degree and aiding and abetting, I think. I'm worried that I think in Minnesota, only one person has been found guilty, a cop. And guess what? It was a black cop who shot a white woman and killed her.
Yeah, so surprise.
I'm worried that these guys aren't, something's gonna happen. Cause you got the police union. Police unions are awful. They're union. You gotta go for your guys. But especially like in New York City, it's Pat Lynch. Pat Lynch is so inflammatory with half the shit he says. And then you got the Minneapolis police union. I think his last name is Kroll. He's coming out talking kind of not as trashy as Lynch does. Lynch just comes out and just like, are you kidding me? So, but this Minnesota guy's coming out. He's like, I'm gonna protect my guys. They were fired unfairly. So it's gonna be a battle. Like, this is literally round one.
That's my issue with it is that
you could
kill a guy, you know, hold your knee on his neck, you know, in broad daylight, kill the guy, and then but I'm gonna defend my guys, and that's what pisses me off is that they will defend their guys no matter what.
Like, I get it, you're a union. I get it, you're a union boss, but I also don't get it. I mean, if we want reform in this country, as far as with police reform, that needs to be investigated and squashed. The effect of unions in that sense. Unions are needed in this world. have some opinions about unions, positive and negative, but they are mostly needed. But the police unions are inflammatory and ridiculous half the time. So that needs to also be looked at. I mentioned Ahmaud Arbery. There's just some disturbing stuff that came out this morning.
Disturbing.
The Georgia Bureau investigation special agent basically said one of the guys who killed him, McMichael, he stood over Arbery and said, called him a fucking nigger. So that was disturbing to hear and made me really angry. So hopefully because that happened, that was said, that puts us up to a hate crime. But I'm not even sure. I think hate crimes are even a thing in Georgia. It got like abolished in like 2004. It was fucking Georgia. If there's any place.
Wow, how is it not a hate crime?
If there's any place that needs a hate crime bill, it's fucking Georgia. So,
oh my gosh. And how come in that instance, how come it took them so long to get charged in that instance?
Like 72 days. Well, like everybody.
What? I saw the video and I was ready to charge him after, 72 tenths of a second.
Yeah, so it's. That's,
I mean, that was just absolutely disgusting.
Hopefully that gets taken care of. The Breonna Taylor situation in Louisville where she was shot in her home, that case was actually closed, shockingly, and it just got reopened today. And the cops who were involved in that are, I believe, they are still on the force, but they may be on vacation right now, supposedly, like getting paid with
paid leave or whatnot.
So like one thing I want for when this police reform, if this happens, I want people's pensions and I want people's retirement funds to get. I want settlements paid through that from that to people. So people, one major complaint I always have is that conservatives and people complain, libertarians complain about taxes. Nobody wants taxes. Nobody wants taxes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, taxes are going up. Taxes are going up. Never mind the fact that shit needs to get, schools need to get built, roads got to get built. Nobody wants to pay taxes. Fine. But you're fine paying for paying for police who are doing settlements with other families through those taxes. Nobody says anything about that. So which one is, you're holding up this systemic racism that's going on in these police departments, which is being challenged, by the way. There's like a Wall Street Journal article about that, which I need to read, saying that doesn't exist. The Wall Street Journal is a little slanted, but I need to read the article. But yeah, people complain about taxes, but like, don't ever complain about those taxes being used for police settlements, which happens all the time. So that's a good point. Also kind of a thing. But yeah, that's all I got, man. I'm exhausted. I've been arguing with everybody for the past 7 days, 8 days.
On Twitter, huh?
On Twitter, on Facebook, been educating. It's been positive and negative. I was able to go out and protest the other day, so I'm very happy about that. Just hope I don't get sick. It's one thing. We're in the middle of a fucking pandemic, so who knows what's going to happen there. But
There's a lot going on.
But one thing that we are happy about is that the start of the NBA season will be happening in the end of July, I believe, July 31st. So
yeah, that's the only thing. I mean, not to, you know, I'm happy it's coming back, but I mean, geez, it's almost like a two more months.
You gotta do training camp. I mean, you can't get people out there. That, I mean, are they gonna do like exhibitions or like maybe like mid July or something?
I don't think so. I mean, I think the exhibition's gonna kind of be the 8-game regular season. I mean, not necessarily an exhibition, but that's going to be, you know, how they warm up for the playoff teams. What do you think about the format?
Well, that's my question for you. I didn't understand. So it's 13 Western Conference teams and 9 Eastern Conference. Is that just because it's only 9 that are playoff eligible in the East and 13 for the West?
I don't know if it's playoff eligible, but there was a certain marker where they were close enough where they thought they'd bring them back. The part that's weird to me is that if they finish out these games and say New Orleans is 3 games behind Memphis, they're going to go to a one game, like a play-in game between New Orleans and Memphis.
I like the play-in game. I like the play-in game.
Yeah, I like it, but I mean, if I'm a Memphis fan, it's like, we played, you know what, 70 games. I don't know how many they played before the corona hit, but, you know, we played 70 games. We're ahead of this team below us, and now we're doing a one-game playoff without home court advantage, too. So I just think the eighth-seeded teams get screwed a little bit, but I think, and I think part of it is the NBA wanted to capitalize on the star power of, you know, the Zion Williamson especially, and, you know, even get like a Lillard in there. I guess Portland was the one team that voted against it.
Oh, really?
For whatever reason.
Everybody thought it was the Knicks automatically.
Yeah, I had heard that, the Knicks. It's interesting. I thought it was going to be more of a play-in tournament where it would be like all those teams would have like a round-robin tournament.
Yeah.
But, you know, the main thing is I'm glad the NBA's back, and I'm surprised, you know, we've been going through some rough times, you know, as far as the coronavirus, but I'm surprised how many people gave up on the NBA season, you know, thought it wasn't going to be coming back.
I think the pre-draft camp is like in August, then the draft's going to be in October. So when's the new season start? Like,
The new season's going to start at Christmas.
Oh, really? I didn't even hear that. Okay.
Yeah. So, if you're a team that plays in the finals, you're going to what? If you finish up beginning of October, you have some of October, and then what? You have like maybe 6 weeks to kind of recharge your battery. But okay. This is what they got to do. I mean, I think we need sports in this country. I mean, I personally would, you know, if there was a hockey game on tonight, I would be all into it. I mean, I want some sports to watch.
Yeah, it seems.
I think they got to come back. And, you know, even if it's not the perfect way to do it, you know, just to have something to watch, something to look forward to is going to be huge.
Yeah, and that's going to – if they start in Christmas, so that's what going to be – would they just do like a regular – like go from Christmas to April and then like do like
know.
A regular
– Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I remember
– try to get back on schedule.
I remember back in 2012, 2011, 2012 season, the season the Heat won it, they started on Christmas because they came off the lockout. But I think they only played about 60 games that year. So I don't know if this is going to be a new thing going later into the summer – or if they're going to have a reduced season next year. But I think the important thing is that they come back and they play the playoffs. I thought it would have been ridiculous just to blow off the playoffs.
Well, so, because you're a LeBron fan, a Lakers fan. But my question my last question is, if the Lakers win, LeBron wins the championship, it'd be his fourth championship, right?
Yes.
So is there an asterisk on this championship? If he wins,
I think there is an asterisk.
Okay, you're fine with the asterisk. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what does an asterisk mean? Does an asterisk mean that the championship doesn't count, or does an asterisk mean like this was different?
He's so polarized that it just adds to arguments against him. But like, yeah,
let's be honest. The Lakers are getting screwed by this. The Lakers pretty much had the number one seed locked up. They were gonna be able to give LeBron like a month off. They had home court advantage throughout the playoffs. Plus, to me, the only team that has a chance to beat them outside of maybe I'd give Houston a tiny chance is the Clippers. They were going to have seven pretty much home court versus the Clippers, but all seven of those games might have been home games, you know, being that you know they're in LA and they're the dominant team. Now they have no home court advantage and everyone else gets to rest. So I think it's like harder for the Lakers win it now than before. So the idea that like we're going to take something away from LeBron if he doesn't win it, I think is ridiculous. But as far as saying an asterisk, because it's completely different, we're playing without fans, I could, you know,
yeah,
I could see that. Whereas when they had the lockout shortened season, I just thought it was absurd for people to say like, oh, asterisk. I mean, come on, you played six. It's a playoff sport. Let's be honest, you're playing best of seven series here.
Yeah.
So I think the best team is going to win. You know, who cares if you miss 15 regular season games? But this is completely uncharted territory.
Yeah, and we mentioned about we need sports. I don't know if baseball's coming back. That's kind of crazy. I haven't really been following it. I just know the owners rejected the players' proposal, and they're not going to negotiate, supposedly. So
I think the timing of baseball was tough because, you know, everyone looked at the NBA being in trouble, but – the summer seems like, oh, I don't know if the virus is coming back or whatnot, but the summer seems like a legitimate window
Oh,
to
it's coming
play it.
back.
But
It's coming back. It's like
yeah, well, that's the whole thing is, like, to me, this is when you need to play, like, right now. So to me, the NBA is perfect. They're like in a window where they can play this. But baseball, they've already missed so much of their season. It sounds like the players are gonna have to take a major pay cut. I mean, I saw something, Gerrit Cole on the Yankees, arguably the best pitcher in the game. They just gave him $35 million per year or so. He's gonna have make $7 million. Now, I'm not trying to cry over somebody who's only make $7 million,
Yeah.
but to have your salary reduced, five, six times, that's a lot. So I don't know if they're gonna be able to make a deal. To me, back to the point I was making before, sports is such a big thing. I mean, I think they need to swallow their pride and figure out a way to get their game back on. And even if they're going to make less money, I think it's important we get these things back. And it'll be interesting to see the NFL too, what happens with that.
Yeah, so I have a source in it, in the NFL. So
Oh, really? Well,
this is probably this is like this
source.
is probably public knowledge, but like they
Is it Adam Schefter?
is not a good
Your
friend of
buddy.
mine who works for them. So and I think we all knew this, but like saying he was saying that they're gonna have Saturdays available to play games because he doesn't think college football is coming back, not now, not until at least the spring, so that they may play games on Saturday, and that they have the stadium, the Super Bowl's in Tampa, so they have the stadium availability to the end of February, so that allows
Okay.
them to, if they need to pause games or push games back or something, that they can go to the end of February with football. So, but
I don't
he,
care. What's this Saturday? I don't understand. How does playing on Saturday
so
help?
you know,
As
what I mean,
opposed, it's not like you can play Saturday and Sunday.
no, but you can maybe get more games. We can maybe get. Split the games up a little bit. I'm not sure. He was just like, Saturday's an
Gives you just
option.
gives you more
He gives you more of
options.
options. He doesn't think college football is coming back, which sucks. But we'll see what happens. Yeah, it's, I don't know if it's I don't know if it's coming back. It's anything to go with college basketball. I don't know what's happening with that. So, well,
Yeah. I've
because.
heard people say, like, flip it, play like the spring sports, like baseball in the fall because it's less contact, and then play the fall sports in the spring.
That'd be crazy to have college football in the spring and basketball. I would love it. Love it. So, I mean, who
I
knows?
mean, as sports fans, I feel like we got to just keep our patience because
Yes.
it's gonna, I don't know. I mean, it sucks. I'm not working this summer. My summer job got canceled, but it's gonna be pretty sweet in August if we have the NBA going. In September, we got playoffs coming, and then you have like football gets to play with the NBA in the playoffs, baseball. You got like the Masters. So, I mean, it could be potentially a really cool fall with a lot of stuff going on. So.
Yeah, it could be fun. It's gonna be fun.
I just want some sports in my life so I can sit there and say, like, all right, like tomorrow, 8 o'clock, I got this game. Because it's, I don't know, build my day around the games, and hopefully LeBron gets this championship. As I said before, the Clippers, they're a legit threat, but I'll tell you right now, and you can quote me on this, we're gonna smoke the Bucks if we get to the finals. I don't give the Bucks any chance. All
You
right.
heard it here.
The
You heard it
Bucks
here
don't
first,
stand it.
folks.
Yeah, I'm not even giving them a fighting chance, short of injury. All right.
Wow. Okay. Bold
What?
statement. Bold statement.
Yeah, no, I don't care what their point differential was great last year. They are at best the 2008, 2009 Cleveland Cavaliers.
Okay.
So I don't know. To me, it's a superstar league. You can't win with one superstar and a bunch of role players. Especially when that superstar can't even shoot. But I don't know. That's just my two cents. I'm much more worried about, a long series versus the Clippers as a Lakers fan than the Bucks,
Oh, the
who are
Pelicans
somehow
first
the
round.
favorite.
Pelicans first round. Might give you guys young upstarts.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Pelicans are a really interesting team. I mean, Zion was unbelievable in the short period of time we saw him. Did even better than I thought he was going to do. So, yeah, they're a scary 8 seed. I don't understand. To me, the Lakers should have they earn the home court advantage, so they should have you know, something. They should be able to pick, like, who they play or whatnot. But we'll save that for another podcast.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a pod that's covers the beginning of the NBA season next month, the alternate NBA season. But
it'd be fun to actually talk about some actual sports.
I know, right? One thing on Zion, who I absolutely love, even though I hate Duke, but let's hope he has to testify in that court case with Duke, so that gets them in trouble for the first time ever. So hopefully that happens. All right, this was a great.
Zion hasn't put on 30 pounds too.
Yeah,
I worry about that.
That's true. All right, so we're done with this Mercy podcast. It went a little longer than expected, but we had some thoughts. One thing I want to just leave everybody with, I found this poster this girl had, little girl had, during a protest that I think sums up a lot of stuff. And it says, we said Black Lives Matter, never said only Black Lives Matter. We know all lives matter. We just need your help with hashtag Black Lives Matter, for Black lives are in danger. So I think that's all we're trying to say.
Honestly, that sums it up. It's exactly.
Yeah, well said. That's all we're trying to say. It's what a lot of people are trying to say, and it seems like people are listening, but we got to keep pushing. So thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Dave, thanks for doing this emergency podcast, and we'll be back soon.